Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete,
wow.
How are you doing?
I'm not sure I can take that mantle, to be honest. I could take disgraced former radio DJ, but I'm not sure I can take the whole, expert on Japan, aficionado.
I cannot open every single new podcast with the phrase disgraced former radio DJ.
No, people will start to believe that it's true that I was actually disgraced.
I mean, that would still sound better than Japanophile.
Mutual consent.
So you are now England's top Japan enthusiast.
Oh, cheers, mate.
Well, by virtue of the fact that you have visited Japan more than any other person I know.
Really?
Yeah, you've been like, what, 10, 12, 100 times?
Maybe I've got more disposable income than those people.
You're a rich man.
And nobody to tell me to not do things.
Yeah, no, you seem to go a lot. You've seen and done a lot.
I like it, baby.
Perfect.
I can't get enough. Just want to see a bit of my Chris.
And we're now several weeks into 2020 and I'm still waiting on the Christmas present. What have you got? What have you got? Have you actually?
Got it.
Hey, there you go. It's a book.
It's a little book. Little book.
What's it? It's like wrapped in a magazine that's been taped up.
Wrapped in a magazine.
What happens to Christmas wrapping paper?
There's nothing wrong with that. Magazines. Fine.
Oh.
Magazines.
It's kind of, what's that? What's going on? There's a picture of a guy with a snail for his, well,
where his winky would be.
Yeah, and a woman would let it. What's going on?
Where her bits would be.
You, mother, this is not something I could. This, I can't describe
an
this.
An erotic book.
What is it? There's no text.
I got you an erotic book.
It's just drawings.
It's a woman
of
called
men and women who are naked with their private parts turned into various animals. There's a guy with a rat for a dick, an ostrich. This is ridiculous.
What is it? It's an erotic book.
All right. It's quite cool. It's just not something I.
Come on, you take that back to Japan.
The thing is, this isn't something I can
it.
Explain in a podcast.
People
without
are gonna love it.
Well,
I'll explain it. I'll do it in a radio-friendly manner. So,
good
first
luck.
Picture. It's a book by Marion Fayol, Marotises, which I'm not really sure what Marotises means. It might be something erotic. It's just different erotic, sort of erotic images. Some very sort of like everyday. Sort of images of one woman is lying on the floor reading a book, but you can't see. So a man has helpfully got his penis out, but his penis is a lamp and it's shining.
I suppose, if you get past the sordid,
it's not really sordid.
How
that's
horrendous
thing.
And sordid is it?
There's a fish with a boob for a face.
It's there's the artistic quality to it that I'll certainly look at and embrace. And
Livros Ilustrados.
Try to think outside the box.
Para gente madura and extravagante. Extravagante.
Is it a Spanish book?
Portuguese, I believe.
Right.
Mm.
Thank
sexy.
You, Pete. I'll
rocket.
Take that back to Japan with me.
Woman's got a moon for a bum, and that man's got a penis that's a rocket. So guess where that rocket's going.
Quite good, actually. Mm. I look forward to taking that back to Japan and showing Natsuki and Ryotaro.
Natsuki
would love this.
Natsuki,
this is
right up his street.
Very much a Natsuki.
I was watching your, a couple of days ago, I hadn't got around to watching your little Pac-Man game thing.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about re-gifting. You re-gifted the tiny little Pac-Man to yours truly.
I know. Natsuki wasn't happy. I promised him the Pac-Man game.
Oh,
then
no.
I took it from him and gave it to you. Mm. So I hope you feel a sense of guilt every time you play that Pac-Man.
His little cigarette-stained fingers. He needs a slightly bigger machine to get involved with.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Well,
oh, boy.
I like to talk about etiquette a lot.
It's what I do. People like to learn about etiquette in Japan, given it's a world away from what we're used to. And at the end of last year, the end of 2019, we had a study come out from the Japan Private Railway Association, which sounds very boring. But they do an annual survey to determine the most aggravating behaviours observed on trains and at stations.
Right.
So basically, they just ask people what thing pisses you off the most when you're riding the train every day. And they've whittled it down into a top 10 list. And this is ranked in chronological order of things people get wound up about on trains. And the first one, number 10, applying makeup on a train. Passengers find it awkward.
Now, that's something that men who have low moral fibre, in my humble opinion, get very upset about on the trains of London. It's like, oh, why can't you just do it at home? It's very unladylike.
I remember, well, it's not just guy. I was with a friend, Japanese female friend, the other day, and she said she was stunned. She was on the bullet train going from Sendai to Tokyo for 90 minutes once, sat next to another woman who was doing her makeup the entire time.
Right, okay.
And she couldn't really enjoy the 90-minute bullet train ride.
Because she was just
makeup flying everywhere. This woman, in a world of her own, just, trying to do her face, mirrors everywhere. So she found it quite annoying.
Bullet trains are quite spacious, though.
Not in economy class. For you, maybe. Mr. Premium Economy Superman.
Green car.
Green car for you.
Hey,
the rest of us have to get in economy class.
Well, I just think that men, and it is mainly men in London who complain about women putting makeup on, because, we live in busy lives. People don't have time to put on makeup, cigar, put them on in the train. If you've ever watched anybody do eyeliner on the train, my God, it's incredible.
Well, I usually do my hair makeup.
You do your hair makeup?
I kind of throw that on my hair while I'm on the move. I don't have time to do that.
Do you really?
I do.
Walking down the street, you got
that's why my hair looks so consistently terrible.
Yeah, but what about, if you put wax in your hair, your hand's covered in wax by the end of it, aren't you? So you need to wash your hands.
It makes my hands special.
Clacky. As you run it across
the
chairs.
Dirt washes straight off.
Ugh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, that's
worse.
One of the worst offences, applying makeup on a train.
Really? I just can't see that. I think just let people get on with it. People are busy.
What about number 9? What have we got?
Riding whilst intoxicated. Drunk.
Have you ever done that?
Yes. Actually, no, not in Japan, but I've certainly... have I taken a train? I don't like to drink and travel. I don't drink a lot on flights either, because I think it's problematic.
Why is it problematic drinking on a plane?
It's just anything more than a nice spicy Bloody Mary. You're just mugging yourself off. By the time you get to the end, the other side of things, you're going to be like, oh, I feel dreadful. I feel awful.
Yeah, I try not to drink anything on the plane other than water, stay hydrated. But
stay hydrated, man.
Stay hydrated. I can see why that'd be annoying, though. Like, the train's in Tokyo.
Like Bear Grylls.
You've never walked
I'm
out
on
of...
a plane. The important thing is to find hydration wherever you can. Squeezing out an old airplane cushion.
That's how adventurous I am. Stay hydrated on a plane.
Pressing the button to get the attendant to fill up my glass.
But if you've ever been around Shibuya or Shinjuku at night, you'll know how horrific the trains can be. People being sick or asleep on... you have to step after half a dozen
meltdown.
People sleeping on trains.
Yeah.
Usually.
Well, yeah, but that's just people overindulging, isn't it?
Perhaps.
There's trains and then there's big trains. I think
there's trains and then there's big trains.
There's being drunk on the tube.
Trains
which is accepted
Pete Donaldson,
that will
the new
happen.
Podcast.
If you're drunk on a Shinkansen, I think that's just bad behaviour. Bad planning. Bad planning.
Well, yeah, have a drink, ladies and gentlemen. Right. I it's lovely to get a beer, sit on the Shinkansen, have a quiet drink. I see a lot of people do it. Don't get drunk.
Look wistfully out the window at Mount Fuji.
Bottle of sake. I've had sake on a train once.
Sake in a box, making it overflow into the box.
I remember one time only, there's three classes on a Japanese bullet train. You've got, standard economy class, green class, your favourite, or grand class.
What's grand class?
Grand class.
No one's ever offered me grand class before.
You're not grand.
What?
It's spelled G-R-A-N, grand. I guess that's grand.
Grand, but, yeah. Grand class.
It's grand sounds better.
Grannies.
Grando. Grando class. But, yeah, it's like the new first class. It started about 2 years ago.
Right.
And it's phenomenally expensive. I think it's economy ticket from Tokyo to Sendai costs about 11,000 yen. Grand class, you're looking at about 22,000 yen,
mother.
It's quite a lot more. But
what's
you do
it like,
get,
though?
Oh, it's just heaven.
Do you get a little
I've only done it once to try and impress my friend who was coming over from the UK to Japan. I wanted to show him just how good Japanese trains could get.
Right.
And you're going to get in, and each chair is like its own kind of booth. A bit like business class on the plane, how each seat's kind of walled off a little bit in its own kind of contained unit.
Very interested in
and
this.
And the chairs are completely automated. You can move the chair backwards or forwards. You can have like leg rests come out. It's all automated and cool. Get a little lamp you can play around with. And you get...
Life flatbed?
You can pretty much turn it into a flatbed.
Whoa!
And you have a waiter or waitress that comes down and serves you food throughout. You can get like a free meal, like a free bento box. You can get sake. So on that train, I think we were coming down from Aomori to Tokyo. So it was a lengthy journey, you know, 2 or 3 hours. It was kind of worth it that time. We got some sake, we got 2 glasses, and we had a nice bottle of sake whilst riding through the Japanese countryside, rocketing through the countryside.
Absolute
at like
baller.
200 miles an hour. It was pretty cool.
You couldn't get that. I'm just looking at the chairs now. How far can they go back?
How far can they go?
Because I'm on if I'm on a train in Japan, I'm invariably hungover, and I wouldn't mind a little snoozy snooze. I'm just wondering how far back that would actually go.
I mean, before. Honestly... You know, I'd just get grand class because it's like all the benefits of grand. It's all the I'd get green class.
Yeah.
All the benefits of grand class without the waiter, waitress. And the seats are still pretty good. They're still automated and comfortable.
That chair looks
But if you want to spend big and you want to impress someone, particularly on a date, a train date, on a bullet train, get grand class.
Get on the train.
Get the free sake and the bento.
Lovely.
It's pretty good.
Sounds exciting, man. I'm bang up for this grand class, though.
Do it. If you're coming to Japan next month,
I'm just watching this. I'm just trying to see where I would... They haven't shown how far the chair goes back. After the podcast, I'll check it out. But I'm very interested.
I think
the finer things in life, me.
I think I'm making a train on bullet. I think I'm making a train.
You're tired, aren't you?
Sentence I never thought I'd say. Yes, I've drunk enough coffee yet. I think I'm making a video on bullet trains next month. So I will reveal it then.
You'll reveal it all.
How far the chair goes back?
Wow. I need you to have a spirit level. I want a spirit level on the back. I want to figure out how far it goes back.
But one thing I won't be doing is number 8, leaving trash and empty cans behind.
Yes. Plenty of bins. There's not train station bins, but hot dog, there are a lot of bins on the train, so there's no excuse, really.
True. And yet that's number 8. Apparently people do that. Again, I've never really seen any rubbish on trains.
No,
it's not like the UK where you have to like excavate your fucking chair. Out of all the rubbish out of it, people have left behind chewing gum, biscuits, wrappers, and sit down.
£300 to lick the say a train from Edinburgh to Newcastle, GNA or whatever. Getting your hands right between the pillows, just run it through of the seat, run it through. £300 to lick your hands afterwards.
No.
£300. Come on.
It would cost a lot more to recover from
the illnesses
you would get from sticking your hands between the seats.
Really,
but Japanese
disgusting.
Trains are very clean, so I'm surprised that one's there. So you've had makeup on trains, riding while drunk, leaving trash behind. Number 7, and this one's not a surprise to me, sound leaking from headphones. If you're riding a Japanese train, don't play music too loudly on your headphones. Back in June, there was a man pushed another guy onto a railway line in Tokyo.
Right.
Because he was standing on the platform listening to music loudly. And the guy thought, it's time to teach him a lesson. I'll throw him on a railway line.
Of death.
A railway line of death. Because he was listening to something too loud. I don't know what the music was.
Is that an acceptable reaction to what had taken place?
Probably not.
No.
Even though it is probably the thing that annoys me the most. If I had a top 10 list of things that piss me off on trains, leaking audio from headphones. Because usually it's not music you want to hear. Rubbish music.
No. Well,
if it was 80s music... leaking from those headphones.
If it was
fine by me.
What would you do if you were about to push someone on the train?
Yeah.
And you heard
I would grab them and save their life.
And embrace them. Save their life after endangering their life.
Well, this guy not only pushed him on the railway tracks, but as the guy was trying to get back on the platform, he was kicking him in the face.
Wow.
Pretty bad. Yeah.
I hope that man's in prison. He shouldn't be around.
He did get arrested.
He shouldn't be around.
But that's how much people hate sound leaking from headphones. And there's usually signs on trains and places in Japan saying, be careful not to play music too loudly.
Right.
And you never hear it, to be fair. It's very rare.
But it's like sort of going, that's how much people hate, people. I think there's sort of other stuff going on, to be honest. It's like, oh, that's how much murderers hate people being alive. And that's why they deserve to die. Outrageous. Terrible behaviour. I'm going to Google that man, see what he's been up to.
I dare you to ride the bullet train or just a normal train and pump up the music on your headphones and see what happens.
Maybe take my excellent Bose smart speaker that I've got The best thing I ever bought.
That's not leaking audio. That's just being a bell end.
Just playing music.
That's just being a dick.
That's your theme tune. The
Journey Across Japan.
Yes.
Brilliant. Number six. Not
sex.
Number six. Number six. What's wrong with you? You've been looking at this book too much.
Number
six.
Let the snail see the lettuce.
Number six. Things not to do on a Japanese train. Coughing or sneezing with no regard for surroundings. Obviously, a lot of people wear face masks in Japan if they're ill.
Yes.
But that helps the situation. But apparently, if you're sneezing or coughing with disregard for other passengers, that'll piss people off.
I mean, again,
that's a weird one on the list.
Well, because they...
if someone sneezes all over you while you're enjoying your train ride, it's not a great way to.
They love your. I was having. I was on New Year's holiday, and it was in this like little square, and they were selling sushi, and I was like, I'll just have a couple of slices of sashimi or something. It's a nice place. The man who's preparing just fucking sneezed all over everything.
Oh. Well,
and his manager went, sorry, what did you do that for?
And what did he? What happened then?
I just ate it because
I'm
a puss. I'm a big puss. I think that but don't the Japanese? They don't like they like sniffing rather than blowing of the nose.
Yes, you're not supposed to. I remember I did a video, didn't I? 12 things not to do in Japan, and one of them was not blowing your nose in public. You're supposed to do it behind closed doors.
Because you guys probably know that I'm quite sinusy, quite a sniffly chap.
Are you?
Little sniffle boy.
Sniffle boy.
Little sniffle boy.
Oh, yeah, they love to sniff instead, which, to be honest, isn't much better.
No, we always had six and two threes for me.
When I was at school, we had a teacher that would literally like hit you with a ruler. He'd hit you with a stick if you sniffed.
I think people who have got problems with... Everyone's got a nose. We've all got a nose. It's just a nose. It's just a nose, Chris.
If there's one thing I want you to take away from this week's podcast, ladies and gentlemen, everyone has a nose.
Everyone needs... Give everyone pseudoephedrine every day so that their nasal cavities are clear and nobody ever sleeps because they're speedy on the needle bliss.
Moving on. The fifth thing not to do on a train in Japan, excessively loud conversations. Yeah. Not a surprise, really.
No.
From 2010 to 2017, this was ranked... as number one, actually, and last year it was number two.
Yeah,
most common. Now it's number five.
Something I appreciate immensely about Japanese trains is they're very, very quiet.
But I like it. But also, it does feel like you can't just chat to your friends sometimes on the train.
You can, but you just
you feel
can't
like you,
have,
you feel kind of self-conscious.
You can't have this level of voice, which seems to be everybody I take to Japan seems to have this level of voice all the time. Just whisper. I can mouth for it, and I try and suggest that they need to be quieter by speaking in a softer and softer voice, because you can still hear what I'm saying, and you can see what words I'm forming with my mouth. It's not just about the sound; it's about the visuals as well. So just look at the, just look at my mouth, and you don't need to shout quite as loud. And also, just I was talking about this at the weekend. I was out with a mate who we went to Japan in June when it rained all the time, and he just insisted on talking. Just talking for no reason. Like he'd be on a train and he'd want to play the Capital Cities game and he'll just go, let's play the Capital Cities game. I don't want to play the Capital Cities
game. Just list the country.
Or something like, or just like you start on A and you got to think of a country or a, you know, it's just that. But there's just no need to talk. No need to talk.
Just relax.
Just look out the window.
You like the Capital Cities game. But yeah, no, if you come to Japan, I suppose, just... be wary if you talk loudly.
Every cottage of Paris, I suppose.
If you're a loud individual, if you're a loud individual, you have loud friends, just tell them, just be careful.
Pipe down.
It is like going to a library, though, on a train. It's like a moving library. Every train in Japan feels like a moving library. Number four, improper use of smartphones, which is quite a subjective thing. What is improper use of smartphones?
Getting that app what you used to get with the first iPhone where you tip it up and it's like a beer. And you go,
oh, God, I remember that. That was definitely proper use of a smartphone. Of a beer drinking app. apparently, including walking while staring at a screen, consequently slowing others down and forcing them to dodge out of your way, and not turning off notification sounds while riding the train. That actually... annoys me quite a lot when you hear ding or do do doom or something.
There should be none of that. I am constantly in studio, so if you've ever tried to contact me in a hurry, I'm just not around because I just don't have notifications on because I'm always in studio, so you can't have your phone on loud. And that's the truth.
I mean, yeah, that's why whenever I turn up here to do a podcast, you never respond to my messages.
Because I'm probably having a snooze.
You're asleep.
Having a snooze.
Or not looking at your phone.
I kind of remember that snooze that I had before Christmas where you were waiting. I do think that was a lovely snooze. Do you like think about snoozes you've had in the past and think, oh, that was a satisfying one? Like, you've been with a girlfriend or something, you've woken up at like 3 in the afternoon, you don't know where you are, and they're sleeping soundly beside you, and you just think, I'm winning at life. I'm having a snooze.
No, I hate snoozes. It's very different. You know.
Snoozes be losers.
I don't like snoozing in the afternoon. I always feel like, I've wasted the day.
It's because you're on coffee all bloody day.
I am on coffee. I don't think I've ever had a snooze in my life. I just can't do it.
You've never had
I can't do it.
Because you drink too much coffee.
It probably is.
How many coffees you had today? It's now
2:00 PM. 2:00.
You've had two?
2:00.
Is that your third?
Well, I did take some caffeine tablets to try and wake up.
Caffeine tablets! Chris, you're a young man, mate!
Number three.
Fucking hell.
Number three. Not things not to do on a train. Annoying people by carrying luggage on the train. This annoys me because I frequently pass through Tokyo carrying luggage.
Mm.
Often I go to Tokyo for over a week, so I need a decent sized case to take stuff. If we're doing a podcast on the go, I've got to pack a bloody big condenser microphone for the hotel room. So I need a good sized bit of luggage. And people don't really, they're not
respect
very friendly
you.
To you taking luggage on trains in Tokyo.
Right.
So when I go to airports now, like Haneda, for example, rather than take the train, I actually get a bus.
Really?
I just hop on the bus, stick my
luggage in. I mean, Haneda is not that far away, so it's
half an hour or something. But I just hate passing through big stations like Hamamatsucho or Shinagawa with luggage. Mm. Everyone's a dick.
Shinagawa!
People don't get out the way.
Shinagawa! That's how they say it on the train.
It is like that, yeah, they're quite
Shibuya!
Aggressive.
Shibuya!
Is this your new job for 2020?
I want to be the voice
man.
Shibuya! Akihabara!
It sounds kind of aggressive though, doesn't it?
Shibuya!
It sounds very aggressive.
I like
it. Can you do it in a more friendly voice?
Ooh, Shibuya. Shibuya? A little bit of mystery in there.
What about...
What are you going to find in Shibuya?
What about Akihabara in a nice voice?
Akihabara.
Shinagawa?
Shinagawa.
Hamamatsucho?
Hamamatsucho.
I can listen to you all day saying Hamamatsucho on a seductive voice.
I'm just saying, I've got one voiceover job. I could do more. All right, guys, if you need your product advertising, Lottie Coolish, I'm just saying.
He could do an aggressive voice and a seductive voice. The possibilities are limitless.
There's a man who on the train up to Newcastle. There's a place called Hewth you go through. He goes, Hewth. That's all he'd say. Hewth. No, you're now approaching Hewth. Hewth! Get off the train, you dick!
Get off now.
Get off. You know what I mean, Hewth?
Brilliant.
Get off now.
There you go. But yeah, come in Japan with luggage, just be wary. People can like give you lots of glances if you look like you're taking up space. I think the main consideration is space.
Well,
you've got loads of luggage, you do take up a lot of space on a train. They're often rammed to hell.
I often get a flight that gets in at like 5 a.m. So by the time you get out through customs, you are heading into town.
5 a.m?
About, yeah, you land, oh, lands, in, lands in lands in Haneda about that. And you're like, all right, okay, I could get a taxi, but I mean, that's just throwing money.
Don't get a taxi. Really expensive.
That's just throwing money. But you get on the train, you're like, oh, by the time you get to, like, I think you got Shinjuku and the change, and it's like, oh, this is difficult.
Well, that's why, life hack tip of the day,
right?
Get a bus. It took me five years to work out the bus is the best way to get to the airports. Well, to get to Haneda, I think. It's really comfortable. Narita, get the Keisei Skyliner from Ueno. It's like a little bullet train. The buses are nice.
Give me the bus incline, seat incline.
God, you and your incline seat.
But the problem is when you get off a flight, especially like a long distance one, you're already sweaty and stinky.
You might be.
You might be.
I'm a fine young
cannibal.
I look dead when I get off. Absolute wreck. Number two on our hit list of things not to do. Read manners when getting on and off the train, aka blocking the doors at a train stop, not filling up enough space in the back to make room for new passengers, and not waiting for people on the train to get off before boarding. As you know, in Japan, unlike the UK, when you get on a train, when you're at the platform, they do have lines marked out on the ground, right?
Right.
Which is something you don't really see ever.
They should do.
It's a great idea.
Marked out, yeah.
Because, again, in the UK, it's very chaotic. You don't know where to stand, where the doors are going to be. Whereas in Japan, it's all marked out, so people form a nice orderly queue.
Maybe the train drivers can't get it lined up properly, yeah?
Probably. This is probably a good... Yeah, although I do find... people do seem to know where the doors open on platforms. If you get a train every day into London, you can tell people know where that door stops.
Yeah, and you can tell because the scuff marks on the floor are a little bit different.
Life hack.
Life hacks.
More life hacks. but yeah, be wary that people don't take kindly to blocking doors. Mm. Obviously, the trains in Tokyo in particular are a nightmare. The train pulls up, there's like a million people on it, the doors open, it's like a floodgate is open, pouring out onto the platform. If you're standing in the way of the door, it's a nightmare. Mm. You will be swept away with the crowd, so just stand out the way of the door. I'm surprised that's number two, though, because I find people are very well mannered. It's quite rare for things to go wrong. But there you go. Number one, Pete, what have we got?
Improper manner of sitting.
Improper manner of sitting.
While improper manner of sitting has always been number two and number three between 2010 and 2018, 2019 marks its first year at the very top of the list. The main culprit mentioned is manspreading, although other impolite behaviours, including stretching or crossing legs while sitting. Now, crossing legs while sitting obviously infringes you forward, but it's a tidier way of sitting left and right.
I know, right? But there was a... I'm a big
leg crosser.
I suspect this...
And I got a massive wanger.
I suspect...
I don't even care.
The improper manner of sitting, the reason it's number one, is because there was a big article, big story back in November where a man was beating a woman with a newspaper on a train.
Yeah, he was mental.
Did you see the video?
He was quite mad.
Yeah, so basically a woman was sitting on a train and the guy in question, this old guy, I think it was Osaka, I'm not entirely sure, but I think he looked a little bit drunk. Mm. Just very old, unruly individual. Mm. And he was spreading his legs. It looked horrible. And because he was spreading his legs, the woman sitting next to him didn't have much room. She must have been in her 30s. So she crossed her legs to try and take up less space.
Yeah.
And then he sort of said, "What are you doing? Don't cross your legs. Don't do that. Don't do that." And she at first kind of politely laughed off. She was like, "Oh, ha, ha." And then she did it again. And he went, "Damn it!" And I went mental and started hitting her legs with the newspaper really aggressively.
I think
and everyone leapt in and was like, "Don't hit her legs." And then the train guards, whatever, the guys working on the train, like burst into the carriage and like, "Don't do it." And there was like a big altercation for 3 minutes, a 3 minute delay on that train, all because of one twat with a newspaper beating a woman.
I think most trains, most city-based transport could do with what I would like to call train punches.
Ejector seats.
Just ejector seats. Just smash the heads. The roof doesn't collapse or anything. They just smash the heads.
What do you mean train puncher?
Train puncher.
An actual person.
A man right. With huge fists and big muscles. If someone just is a dick, like a football chant, bothering a woman on an empty carriage, just comes over, whack!
Done.
You've been train punched.
I fear the old man in question would have been killed outright if that
take
happened
a punch.
To him.
Do you think, are you saying he couldn't take a punch?
I'm saying, yeah, he definitely couldn't.
Right.
I'm not surprised this one's at the top of the list. And I often do cross my legs sitting on the train because it's more comfortable, doesn't it?
I put
my left leg over my right leg.
Yeah.
Rest it like that.
I got a little
people
smaller.
People always stare though. They're like, "What are you doing?"
Because
your leg kind of sticks out.
Yeah.
Threatens people.
Yeah, but if somebody comes, you just move. You move your legs backwards, don't you?
Yeah, but people just feel awkward.
You
can see them get on the carriage, look at you, and be like, "Oh no, he's a foreigner. He doesn't know how to sit properly."
Right. I fold my legs twice.
Right.
I wrap my right leg back around my left leg.
Like you're doing some sort of meditation.
Yeah.
Meditation practice.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Yep.
But there you go. I mean, yeah, just be wary of how you sit with your legs. Again, on the train in the UK, we kind of do what we want.
Yeah.
But in Japan, people sit their legs close together, keep their arms in, keep kind of to themselves. And often you have to just because how busy the damn trains are.
I'm like Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell, and I'd sit with my face facing the wall.
I kneel
on the seats facing the wall or the window.
Brilliant.
Do you want to see what's going on outside? And then I do a gotsy.
I don't know what that is.
Good.
You and your knowledge of weird things. Obscure knowledge.
Wow. So are you basically saying that all of these things should not be attempted while you're in Japan?
Yeah. Don't apply makeup on a train. Don't ride while drunk. Don't leave trash and empty cans behind. Don't leak audio on your headphones. Don't cough or sneeze or breathe or do anything. Don't have excessively loud conversations. Improperly use your smartphone. Annoy people by carrying luggage, have rude manners while getting on and off, and don't sit like an idiot.
Don't apply makeup while drunk, and don't sneeze while applying makeup because it will go everywhere.
And that should be on the list for next year.
My friend.
But, you know, with all these etiquette lists, people always criticise me by saying, "Oh, you know, you're ruining Japan by kind of making it sound like a prison or something." But, you know, I always say, take these things with a pinch of salt, just be a bit more wary, use your sixth sense to be a bit more kind of wary of what's going on around you in Japan, and you'll be all right.
Mm.
I've never had anything bad happen.
Cool.
So you'll be all right. Speedy Japanese now.
We haven't done this for a while.
Yes. Speedy Japanese is a fan favourite in 2018.
Cool.
In 2019, I kind of gradually phased it out because I didn't know if people liked it. Nobody ever said, "Oh, I like Speedy Japanese." And then after I removed
it... I like Speedy Japanese. I'm a cartoon dog. I love it.
But then after I stopped doing it, loads of people messaged me going, what happened to speedy Japanese?
What happened to Japanese? What happened to my bone? What happened to speedy Japanese? I'm a dog.
I think you should set up a new YouTube channel, Speedy Japanese.
Speedy Japanese.
With a cartoon animated dog, Speedy the dog.
I was thinking about this recently. Why can't we get a... Is there a product on there on available? Probably there is, but you'd have to kind of finish it off yourself. An e-ink reader, like an e-ink screen linked to...
An e-ink, because the way you pronounce it sounds like eating reader, which e-ink. Really confused me.
E-ink. Electronic ink. Very low capacity battery needed and like it lasts for ages.
Kindle
sort of thing. Have a screen. You know, I'm obsessed with learning stuff in the shower.
Yeah, you are.
Screen, e-ink. Every day, it brings you a new word for a new foreign word.
It could be
great to sort of, you've got your word of the day, but it's in your shower and you don't need to charge it for like 3 months and it just switches every
day. Feel like it could be done more effectively on a smartphone app.
No, because you can't have that in the shower, Chris. Waterproof e-ink reader that just sits in your shower. It needs to be charged every couple of months. That's it. And it just teaches you a new word every day.
If there's someone listening to us who has a bit of time on their hands
e-ink.
And they're a bit handsy with tools and equipment, please make...
This is my eyepiece,
the
John.
E-ink Japanese learning tool that he deserves for his shower.
Give me the money.
Maybe we can sell it to the mass market. Two words for you today, though, because we talk about trains.
Yes.
What's train in Japanese?
Densha.
Good, densha.
I know that because the video game Densha Dogo.
Don't know what you just said.
Densha Dogo.
What's that?
It's a arcade machine or train game.
Right,
yeah,
everyone loves the train game.
Densha Dogo.
What about to ride the train?
Ooh,
I don't know
what the word ride is.
Noru. And you use the particle ni. So you say densha ni noru.
Densha ni noru.
Denshi ni noru.
Noru.
N-O-R-U. Noru. Denshi ni noru. I'll ride the train.
Chris ni noru.
I'll ride Chris.
I'm going to ride Chris.
This is why speedy Japanese had to be removed. Because you using a newfound...
You try to change it.
Using your newfound language skills for evil and sordid...
Inu ni noru.
Ride the dog. Well, there's nothing sordid about that.
Ride the dog, baby!
Apart from...
You're just going to ride the dog! I don't want any more drinks, Chris. Pete, you just got to ride the dog.
Brilliant.
To Shibuya.
An actual conversation that will happen
yes.
the next time we're in Japan. What about subway train or underground?
I like this because it's a cool word to say.
Go on then.
Chikatetsu, you and I know.
Is that a song?
That's Apple, I think.
Now.
Yeah. I can't remember what the original one.
Chiquita.
Chikatita, you and I know that one, yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, whatever that one is.
What about to ride...
Chikatetsu, you and I know.
To ride the subway.
I guess it'll be Chikatetsu ni... I've forgotten the word. Noru? Noru.
Chikatetsu ni noru. How are you going to remember the word noru using your incredible mnemonic skills?
Noru.
You nearly forgot it there.
Imagine having the norovirus.
Norovirus on a train.
Riding out the norovirus. Oh God, I just want to just stop vomiting.
That works.
There you go.
It's the good thing about speedy Japanese. We don't just teach you the words, ladies and gentlemen. We teach you how to learn the words and remember them. Norovirus.
A gift, baby.
Yay.
A gift.
So densha train, ninoru to ride, chiketetsu subway, chiketetsu ninoru to ride the subway, densha ninoru to
ride
the
I love
train.
It.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down.
So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Now we turn our attention to your messages, questions and comments in the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Donaldson?
Sorry, I was trying to find a picture of Gortzy for you.
Right, I'll read
the question. I've got it. Right. Dan. Hello. From the central coast of California, Pismo Beach. Hey, Chris and Beats, been watching your videos since you've been dishing them out 7 years ago, and the podcasts are great. Always enjoy listening to them as I drive through the countryside going to work. By the way, your cycle journey was amazing, being a dream to always do that myself. Well, hey. I enjoy getting food from food trucks here in California. Absolutely delicioso, I added that bit. And was wondering if Japan has them too. I wasn't sure due to the crowded street in the city and all the street food stalls. Yatai.
You know what yatai means, right? Yatai means like street food stall.
Is that like some kind of yatta? I did it.
No,
I had some street food.
Absolutely no relation.
Yatta, I did it.
No,
is that double T?
Yeah, means room, and Thai kind of means like carry on.
I've done.
What I think
thai, I mean, I've done.
But yatai means like stall, street stall outside.
Right. Okay.
Continue the question.
Okay, so I did some reading, and I guess Japan has some food trucks, or they're also known as mobile retail vehicles or kitchen cars. But I was wondering if you've ever tried them. It'd be cool to see you try some different kitchen cars. Anyway, keep the amazing work that both of you do in this big wide world, Dan. I've been to one of them.
Where? When? How?
Heading towards whatever university is in Shibuya.
No. Temple?
I don't know.
I don't know if there are any universities in Shibuya.
Yeah, if you walk up the hill forever. United Nations University, maybe?
Oh, yeah. There is one there. School. The United Nations University.
Right, might be that school. One. Maybe that one, but yeah. May not be. But up there was a load of... I'm pretty sure Women's University, actually. There was a load of... little dining sort of little kind of food trucks out there in a little square. It was really nice. My friend did some washing.
Well, they usually turn washing.
I sat and ate a burger while he went and did some washing.
Another obscure Pete Donaldson.
Great
holiday.
Memories.
I have
came back smelling like Lenore.
Outside of the supermarket where I live, we do have a yatai truck, kitchen car.
Yatai! I did it! I opened a food truck.
It's different. All right, yatai.
It's so, helped me remember yatai, yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah, means stool.
Right.
And thai, no, it doesn't. Yeah,
I bet yeah means everything.
Means room or right. House, and thai means stool. So room, house stool. There's one out in front of my supermarket that does yakitori.
Right.
And I had it once, and it was rubbish. And we've gone back to the kitchen car ever since. And yeah, but a bit hit and miss. If you've ever got a festival on a Japanese town, the kitchen cars of Japan will descend upon the town and, you know, sell things like okonomiyaki, yakitori.
Oh, when I went to the, I went to a sake festival.
Oh, in London?
In Japan.
Japan. Well, that's cheating.
What's the ninja town I always talk about? Shinagawa? I don't know. Kanazawa.
Kanazawa, right.
Is that Kanazawa on the coast?
Yep.
Does that have a ninja town? No, it's north. It's the only place I've been north of Tokyo. I told you about it. I was there for like one day, and I went to buy myself a sake festival, and it was really nice. And you had to pay $5 for a deposit for a glass.
Are you able to know that, like, taste the difference between the different types of sake?
Yeah, it was lovely. I mean, I couldn't, you know, I'm so not into
you must have been
food
wasted.
And booze.
Those sake festivals always finish me off because sake is so damn potent.
Absolute banger.
We've got one love from it. John G. John G, Indiana, US.
Cool.
John G from Indiana, US. Mm. I do like the name John G, Indiana. Konnichiwa, Senpai Chris and Lord Peter.
Thank you.
The theme music for your podcast is quite good and fitting. Not Japanese, but original and pleasant. Nigh addictive. Could you please discuss the creation of it and who is responsible for it? Kudos to them. Frivolous question time. Were you to be named a lord, what name would you take that would best immortalise your legacy? I'm referencing Screaming Lord such as an epitome. Notwithstanding the question above, I have to say the more I listen to Pete, the more I'm struck that he's actually quite an intelligent and curious person. And not the...
Let's not use that word.
Not the crazy individual that made me guffaw when I first saw him on Journey Across Japan. Finally, a question for Chris. Did Journey get much of press attention in Japan, Journey Across Japan? And if so, how was it received? I enjoy the podcast and the YouTube. My wife and I are preparing for a three-week trip to Japan in autumn 2021. Thank you, John. Lots of questions to unpack there. Let's start off with the Lord thing. If you were to be named the Lord, Pete, what would you take name-wise to immortalise your legacy?
Lord Harlem Shake Donaldson.
Harlem Shake.
Yeah.
Contrary
to popular belief, I was the inventor of both the Harlem Shake and also the Cha-Cha Slide.
Yes.
So from my hometown of Hartlepool, I invented both of those things.
Right.
The hills were alive with the Cha-Cha Slide and the Harlem Shake, and really just went from strength to strength, and the world just took a bit of me with it.
Well, luckily we don't have time to dive into that.
Let's do the Harlem Shake.
Let's move on from that. Mm. But for me, it'd be Lord Broad. Is it rhymes?
Lord Broad.
Lord Broad.
The Broad Lord.
Lord
Broad, the Broad Lord.
Perfect.
Palindromic.
Done. Perfect.
And, after a heavy Christmas, accurate.
Lord. Yeah. Lord.
Are you a Broad Lord? Are you a Broad Lord? Are you a Lord? Are you a Broad Lord now?
I'm a
Broad, Broad Lord.
I've put on so much weight.
Have you?
Let's never come back to the UK.
You always wear nice black shirts. Well.
To conceal.
They weren't always nice. The Nazis had.
They have the black shirts.
Yeah.
The song, yeah, the theme music. I picked it. I take full responsibility.
I thought I suggested.
Don't you dare say,
come on!
No, I picked out five songs.
All right, here we go.
And I sent them to Pete, and I was like, "Which one do you think's good?" We whittled it down to that one. I don't know the name of it.
Paper trail here.
What's the name of it? Remember?
Seat and Broad.
He's looking it up. But I found it. I take credit. But no, we didn't commission it. We just bought it off the website.
It was off the shelf. Off the.
Worryingly, anyone could take it and just use it.
Exactly, yeah, they could. But they haven't found it yet, so cool.
Uh-huh.
I think it sounds a bit like Imagine Dragons.
I like it, though. I listen to it.
That one.
This is kind of upbeat and nice. And,
yeah.
You know, I think a podcast should be there to cheer you up a bit after a crap day or get you off to a good start.
Crab day?
A crab day.
I've been nipped by a crab.
A day full of crabs. But to cheer you up. And the music's kind of positive and lighthearted and fun.
Theme.
And that's what we're all about here.
And
the last question was, did Journey Across Japan get any press attention? No, not really. I don't think it did, actually.
No?
I think it got put in one paper. But no, it didn't really. And I didn't mind. You know, I wasn't bothered, really.
Mm. Okay.
Can't have it all, can you?
You can't have it
all.
You can't have it
all. It got viewed enough by the world, by the general public, so I was happy about that.
Yeah. How is the... Are you kind of finished with that kind of theme now? Are you finished with the whole Journey Across Japan? You can kind of finally put it away more.
Oh, it's all done. Yeah, we never need to talk about it again. It's done. Let's never speak. Journey Across Japan. We learned a lot. We had a bit of fun. Time to move on to the next big thing for 2020, which is in the pipeline. But keep the stories, comments, questions coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. But for now, guys, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week. And we'll be here to do it again next Wednesday or Thursday, depending where you are. Yes, it's the theme tune. Oh, yeah.
Stop rapping and beatboxing.
Get out.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.